You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Dan Grosser Show. On 98.7 ESPN.
Time to talk a little bit of baseball now. And joining us, former big league catcher. Now you hear him all the time for those that are dialed into MLB Network Radio. Does an outstanding job there. Colleague of mine. It is the great Chris Jimenez, who is kind enough to grace us with his presence here on the program. Christopher, welcome to the show. Thanks for spending some time tonight. How are you?
I am doing outstanding, and if I could do anything to help out my boy, DG, you know I'm here for it at any point in time. So thank you for finally letting me get on.
Oh, please. I mean, the pleasure is all mine. You know that. We are so thrilled to have you on the show tonight. Let's get right to it, though, because we have only a few weeks left in this season. You know, the long grind of 162, it's culminating now with some good races. And, you know, with the two teams here in New York, we'll start with the Yankees. They're up there in Boston right now doing their thing tonight with the Red Sox, and they seem to have gathered themselves the last couple of days. You know, the offense is broken out. They won an important series against the Tampa Bay Rays. Are you convinced that the Yanks are over that little kind of hiccup which plagued them there for a few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good call. I wouldn't say as I'm actually 100% convinced yet. I would love to see how they do against the series currently in Boston, and so far so good. Gerrit Cole came out and gave up a few runs early, but the Yankees have scratched and clawed their way back. If they can take two or three or even sweep the series against the Red Sox, I'd be very happy to say that I think they're back. It sure seems like, you know, they're starting to get the back end of this bullpen figured out. Clay Holmes has come back from the IL, thrown the heck out of the ball. And I think in order for the Yankees to be good, listen, they need Clay Holmes to throw the ball the way he was throwing the ball at the beginning of this season. And they also need Aroldis Chapman to come back and just be half of himself. I truly believe half of Aroldis Chapman is going to play big for this Yankees team, because that depth in the bullpen has taken a hit. They've lost a few guys to the injury, and they're going to need some guys to step up.
Judge and Stanton, for the last few games, Boone's been batting them 1-2 in the batting order here. Judge hit a home run tonight, number 56. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But do you think that that's sustainable? I know the Yankees are missing some guys, of course, but what do you make of Judge Stanton 1-2 at the top of the batting order?
I actually like it. You know, you want to get your best hitters up as many times as possible. They have the most chances to affect the game or the outcome of the game. And again, in Stan's case in particular, you know, it's probably getting him an extra at bat or two, maybe even during the game, that he kind of missed, you know, on a short, quick rehab assignment from his last injury issues, you know. So I think you're getting your best hitters in the lineup more often. And to me, that's a smart decision, because I want Aaron Judge up as many times as possible as well.
And you look at this home run chase that he's on right now. He went five games without one until tonight, where he got number 56. He took one over the opposite field fence there at Fenway Park. You think he's breaking this record? You think he's getting to 62?
Gosh, that's a great call. I definitely think tonight helped. I was starting to get a little worried myself. I know you and I have talked about this a lot in the past, that if he were to get to 62, you know, what that would mean for not only the Yankees franchise, but for Aaron Judge and himself, you know, just the fact that he bet on himself by turning down quite a bit of money at the beginning of the season. I would love, absolutely love to see him do it. I mean, it couldn't have happened to a better guy. There's not a better guy that can go out there and handle New York the way he can. And I just think that, you know, with him betting on himself and taking that risk, and then going out and putting up the type of season that he has to this point, I think he deserves to get 62. Let's put it that way.
Talking with Chris Jimenez here on 98.7 ESPN. Mets and Yankees, both first-place teams, at least for the time being. As far as the Mets are concerned, you know, they're having their troubles again here last couple of nights against an opponent that you look at the standings and you say, well, you know, they should be beating up on. Couldn't get any hits last night, lose to the Cubs. Tonight, it's Jacob deGrom, of all people, who's being let down by the rest of his mates there. He's given up a few runs. What is it about this Mets team? We're talking about them maybe as World Series contenders. Why are they struggling so much against the bottom feeders?
You know, I think it's just a simple case of playing down to your competition. And you would love to think that good teams don't do that, but there's something that gives me some optimism. You know, we talked about this last night on MLB Network Radio, that I do believe when they just played the Dodgers 2 weeks ago, they ended up winning that series. It took a great game from DeGrom and a great game from other pitchers in that rotation to take out the best team in the National League. And if you're going to have me, if you're going to tell me that they're going to play that well against the Dodgers and this poorly against the Pirates and the Nationals and the Cubs of all teams, not that the Cubs are bad, but they're making spoiler makers out of themselves, which is a good thing for them. I think they have the ability to play to their level of competition. Now, with that being said, that's a scary game to play. You do not want to be able to turn it on and off like that. You would love to be playing your best baseball going into October. And, you know, fortunately for them, they still have a few weeks to kind of figure that out. Get Max Scherzer back here relatively shortly, I think will help stabilize that rotation again. And Starling Marte, to me, is kind of the key that makes the world go round for the Mets. Yeah, if they get him back in that lineup, which all signs are kind of pointing to that happening here in at least the next 10 or 12 days, it's going to give him at least a week to 10 days to get himself back up to speed for that playoff push in October.
Well, you mentioned the offense, and clearly Marte is somebody who's been missed here for the last couple of days. But even when Marte was around, you know, they go through these lulls where they're not able to manufacture runs. They're stranding a bunch of guys on bases. How significant a concern do you think that is for them? Like, once you think about October, this lineup that, you know, goes through these spells where they're just not scoring any runs. I mean, is that something enough that you think could be their downfall, despite the fact that you have faith in the starting pitching?
I think you're absolutely right. You nailed it. You know, listen, the Mets aren't going to out-bludgeon teams like the Braves can. And I hate to use that example because, you know, I know Mets fans have a tendency to be a little sensitive when we talk about the Braves, and I understand that and I respect that. But the Braves can hit the ball out of the ballpark. It's not saying that the Mets can't hit the ball out of the ballpark. They just don't do it as often. They have to rely on other ways of manufacturing runs, to your point. And I think last night was kind of a prime example of when things aren't going well, they had the bases loaded with nobody out and ended up getting out of that inning, not scoring a single run. You know, a team that is so reliant on contact-oriented hitters, guys hitting behind guys, putting the ball in play, being able to move the baseball around the field a little bit, it is maybe a little disconcerting, I think, that they weren't able to, you know, do something. And then, you know, they've kind of been on a little bit of a run here, to your point as well, that, you know, they have not been scoring a lot of runs. But with that being said, I think ultimately they're going to be okay. These levels, they'll plateau out. And, you know, I think we'll start to see the Mets offense start to click and you know, get the runners over, move some runners in, and just generally play the good type of baseball. Listen, they have one of the best leaders in the game in Buck Showalter, the most complete non-panic person you could think of and the right guy to be in this situation right now. He's got these guys going in the right direction, and I think ultimately they're going to be just fine.
Talking baseball with Chris Jimenez here on the Dan Garcia Show, 98.7 ESPN. You look at the National League, and you know, you and I have talked about it. The National League, I think there's way more serious contenders than what you have maybe over on the American League side. We know the Dodgers have that gaudy record. They can clinch the division tonight. I mean, they're 54 games over 500, which is scary. But do you think the Dodgers are the team to beat, or do you think that it's somebody else even in that National League?
You know, as much as I'm a Dodger guy, and this pains me to say it, I don't know if they are the team to beat. It's hard to say that with the best team in baseball. I mean, goodness, they have 97 wins. They're on cruise control. They're on pace for 112 wins in the season. It's hard to not say that they're not the team to beat. But I really do think the loss of Walker Buehler is going to come play a major role in the postseason. Not only did they lose Walker Buehler, but they also lost Tony Gonsolin, who was an all-star, having a Cy Young caliber season. The fact that he has not made his way back yet, it lessens the depth of that rotation. And the one thing that the Dodgers have done a tremendous job of is continuing to have that kind of step right in mentality. Tyler Anderson's taken a huge role on, you know, obviously Clayton Kershaw's now back. A lot's going to ride on his shoulders. Julio Urias, who has been very battle tested himself. But if you noticed, all three of those guys I just mentioned were left-handed.
Yeah.
If they end up playing a team like the Cardinals hit left-handed pitching pretty much better than anybody in baseball. So that could be a scary matchup. With that being said, I have to say I think the Braves are probably, you know, the favorite to win. The Braves or the Astros, if I'm just being honest. I know you don't want to hear that, and I'm sorry. But if we're being honest with each other, I think either the Astros or the Braves probably have the best opportunity to win.
Well, I mean, think about what you just said, though.
Right now.
I don't know if anybody can take exception with that, because the Braves, we know they're the defending champs. They know how to get it done this time of year. The Astros, say what you want about them. You know, this is a team that was in the World Series last year. You got guys on that team that with rings. I know everything that went on, you know, with the garbage cans and so on and so forth. But the Braves are interesting to me because we know that they've stubbed their toe a little bit on the West Coast here. They've lost three in a row, a couple close games. They've been playing at an extremely high, like a crazy level since the beginning of June. Do you think this is kind of like just the universe restoring order, that it was inevitable that they were going to cool off? Or do you think that, you know, maybe this is just they're getting their bad baseball out of the way these few days and they're going to go back to just rolling over people?
You know, I do think they were bound to cool off. They were not going to play baseball at an 800 clip for the rest of the season. That would be record setting, and they're pretty much on that pace as we speak. You know, with this recent three-game skid, it took a very impressive bottom half of an extra inning in Seattle, or the bottom half of the ninth inning, excuse me, in Seattle, and a meltdown out of Kenley Jansen to start this losing streak off. Although I do think they're cooling down and they are coming back to earth a little bit, I'm not really worried that they're really playing that bad at baseball. They have such a quality team from top to bottom. Starting rotation, 1 through 5. You know, bullpen, 1 through 8, 9, or however many they allow down there these days. You don't even know anymore because the rules change all the time. And what they can do offensively, it's essentially the same offense that won a World Series last year. So if you're looking at it from that regard, I think if they are going to go on a little skid, right now is the time to do it. And you and I, again, have talked about this in particular a lot. I think it is much more important for the New York Mets to win this division, which as long as they can keep the pace they're on and just kind of keep their heads above water, so to speak, they play the Atlanta Braves for 3 games, like the last, I think it's the last 6 games of the season.
Yeah.
3 of those, they play the Atlanta Braves. Get it to that series, let it play out from there, and then kind of let the chips fall where they may.
Before we say goodbye, I got to ask you about your thoughts on the rule changes. We know that those are going to go into effect next year. I mean, they're pretty significant in the sense that you're talking about altering the way the game is played. Curious as to what your thoughts are, whether it be the shift, the pitch clock, right, and then with the pitch clock, how it impacts pickoffs. Are you on board with each of them? Do you like some more than others? What do you think about these rule changes?
I can't really say I like any of them, to be completely honest with you. I'm a little bit more of a traditionalist. And, I mean, listen, I don't think a pitch clock is really ultimately going to make that much of a difference. I know it has done a significant amount in the minor leagues, and there is something to be said for that. Maybe it does knock off 5 or 6 minutes a game. But if you're a fan and you sign up to go to a baseball game, do you really want to, is it going to make a big difference if you get out of there at 9:47 or 9:53? No, not at all, in my opinion. And in regards to the shift, the one thing I don't mind in particular is the fact that you have to have two guys on either side of second base. That part I don't mind at all. The part I don't like, though, is the fact that infielders are now no longer able to step on the grass, on the outfield grass. I don't think that's fair. I think that's a part of strategy in regards to defending an opposing team. You know, I'm not saying you need to have three guys on one side of the field and completely take away a base hit to right field or to left field, depending on how you play it. But with that being said, I do think second baseman should be able to play a little bit deeper and just give themselves an extra little opportunity. Not everybody's as fleet of foot as some of these elite second basemen, and any bit of extra time they can take will only help in that regard. But other than that, I'm not a huge fan of the rule changes. I think it's changing the game in fundamental ways that don't need to be changed. And I also don't think they're really taking the players' considerations into this. They've never asked a player, you know, listen, does a game time, I mean, pace.
Did we lose Chris? Chris is kind of a very rural area where he lives, so the cell signal might not be that far. You know what it is? We'll let Chris go. Jacob, if he pops back on, just tell him thanks. But, yeah, his line probably cut out there. There was a little bit of a delay, too. But we thanked Chris for hopping on. And, like, just to piggyback onto what he was saying about the rule changes, that was, you know, those were my thoughts exactly, kind of. The more and more you tinker with how the game is played, you're literally changing the game. I know it sounds simplistic, but that's what you're doing. You're changing the way the game is played. And if baseball thinks that we're just going to roll out there next year and everything is going to be A-OK because we've got a pitch clock, because the shift is not going to be in play, and that, you know, you're going to get more base hits, and in theory some of it works out all right, but there's still going to be a massive amount of confusion as far as I'm concerned. Because one thing that baseball is very, very good at is confusing the hell out of people. And just look at how much of a disaster instant replay has been. Even all these years later, they still don't have that down pat the way they should. And now next year, with some of these violations that could potentially ensue with the shift, and now you're leaving it in managers' hands to where they can challenge and so on and so forth, you think that's going to speed up the game? You think that's going to make the game flow even better? You know, it's like making change for the sake of making change. And, for, you know, you could talk about implementing all this stuff in the minor leagues. That's great. But the minor leagues, these games aren't televised either. And you don't have to have all of these, you know, commercial breaks to pay the bills and all these other things, which also adds to the length of the game time. I don't know. Call me a skeptic, call me whatever you want, but I just don't think it's going to work as seamlessly as they make it out to be that it will.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York Tonight.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Pick five games each week, and the best score against the spread throughout the regular season will win $1,000. Weekly prizes of $100 will also be awarded. So join the 98.7 ESPN League with code NY22 on the Cover 5 app and cover5.com. It's as easy as 1-2 free. Visit ESPNNewYork.com for full contest rules. Look, to be honest with you, I don't know how that thing really and truly is supposed to work, because last week in the week one picks, and they were the same picks that we did on Friday night, on our Football Friday that I did on the show, were the ones that we picked last week in the contest. So it says that my score is something like 39. But, like, how do they go about, like, adding it up? Like, I'm too lazy to read the rules and everything. All I know is that I went 4-1. If I went 4-1, how do I have a 39 as my score? I have 39 points and I'm in 72nd place, it says. I mean, I went 4-1. Is there something to where, like, you have to I don't know, if like depending on what the spread is of the game, like and how many you get over or something like that, or based on the win, and then you get like more points assigned to it. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure this thing out. All I know is that, you know, that's 80%. We go 4-1 every week. It's going to be a fun year when it comes to these picks. Jacob, did you enter it? Did you sign up for that thing?
No, I did not. I definitely did not. I mean, I would love to, but it's if I'm not making any money out of it, why am I joining? Why am I killing myself?
What's the incentive? Wait, you know what? If there's not any green at the back end, like, why am I even taking my time for this? I say the same thing. It's like, well, if I can't win anything, then why am I doing it? Even though they tell us to.
I mean, it might be – I would just take it as a moral victory just because the Jets won't have any of that this season. I'll tell you.
Right, there's no moral victories. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what it is? I'm gonna be like Coach Sala. That's what I'm going to do with the Cover 5 stuff. I'm taking receipts. I'm saving receipts. I'm saving receipts. I'm 4-1. I got 39 points. If these points don't start adding up a little bit higher, then, you know, we're going to have to deal with it.
I mean, you might be the only one in Jets land who you don't start off 4-1 and not happy about it.
I think they'll take a 4-game winning streak right now, right?
They certainly will.
If they start off 4-1, you're not going to be hearing anything about receipts. Or maybe those receipts are going to be plastered all over the place, maybe. Like, hey, remember us? I'll tell you, though. What a week. I mean, like, week one in the NFL is always weird, right? I mean, you never know what to expect. I mean, week two, see, and week two is going to drive you batty as well. Because now we have one game under our belts of information, right? So you think you know a little bit more about these teams. And so based upon what you saw in week one, you're going to apply that as to how you think week two is going to play itself out. And what's going to end up happening is week two will be going the complete opposite direction. And it's going to throw you for a curveball. So, like, you still are going to be in this, like, gathering information type of mode right now. And it's not going to really resolve itself until you probably get to, like, week four, week five of the season before you really and truly know, like, how these teams are going to be. But, boy, did I have a rough week when it came to Survivor Pool. That I was done. Basically done in 1 week. Because, like, when you looked at these games in week one, like, what were the layups? Like, what were the ones that you thought, like, absolutely, like, they're the safest bets? You probably thought Denver last night, right? I mean, to a certain extent. You figure the Broncos are going to go in and beat up on the Seahawks. Seahawks aren't going to have a good year. You thought Indianapolis would go in and take care of the Texans. Indianapolis has owned the Texans the last couple of years. Not, like embarrassed the Texans. Matt Ryan is there. They got a veteran quarterback, a former MVP, a guy who knows how to win. No more of the Carson Wentz garbage. They lay an egg. Tennessee. Giants go in, they're all beat up. Their two edge rushers aren't playing. Right? Home game for the Titans. Derrick Henry back in that lineup. You thought that they're just going to run him about 30 times and make quick work of the Giants. Nope. Didn't happen. Because Randy Bullock couldn't make a field goal, among other things. So, I mean, it was just like a brutal week. And week one is always the hardest, but no excuses, you know? No excuses, no receipts, none of those other things. Speaking of excuses, you know what? There needs to be no excuses for Gerrit Cole, because we told you Judge hit the home run to tie it up at 3 in the 6th inning. What does Cole do right back out there in the bottom of the inning? Gives up a home run to Xander Bogaerts, which I don't even think has landed yet, by the way. Probably traveling towards New Hampshire. See, that's all about being a stopper, man. You know what I'm saying? You want to be the ace. You want to be the guy who, you know, you put the team on your back and that type of thing. When you get a game back even, and even though if you don't have a lot left in the game, right, if you emptied the tank, if you've thrown all your pitches and whatnot, you got to go out there and keep that thing 3-3. It's essentially a 0-0 game, and he got 3 innings or so to play with. Keep it even. And he didn't do that. You know, I don't care how many guys he struck out tonight. You're a Yankee fan. You're Gerrit Cole. The last thing you want to hear, just like apparently the group of the Jet fans that want nothing to do with hearing about Robert Saleh talking about keeping receipts and we're going to turn this thing around and, you know, we're going to have the last laugh. Those same people, if you're a Yankee fan, don't after the game expect to hear Gerrit Cole, oh, hey, you know what, I gave a good performance, struck out 10 guys, or Aaron Boone sticking up for Gerrit Cole. That is not what you need this time of year. Not from that guy. Domingo Herman could say, you know what, that's a nice effort. He struck out 10 guys. Frankie Montas, yeah, struck out 10 guys. Not Gerrit Cole, not the guy who's making $324 million a year. That ain't going to cut it. By the way, 27 home runs. Cole has given up this season. Second most in the American League, third most in Major League Baseball. He's made six starts at Fenway Park as a Yankee, including the playoffs and that, you know, gem last year in the wild card game. All six of his starts, he's given up at least one long ball at Fenway Park. Can't do it. Cannot do it. Not good enough. 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. We come back. Do a quick little whip around Major League Baseball here. As I said, Albert Pujols' quest for history. We'll update a couple of the other key games on the diamond this evening. Plus your phone calls. We got 30 minutes more to play with Dan Grasso Show, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's nights like this where I don't want to hear about history. You know, he pitched six innings tonight. He gave up three runs, struck out 10 guys. But they're losing the game 4-0. They can't score for him. And not for nothing. It's not like this was a, you know, he gave up one. He gave up three runs. Gave up a home run. And I know his defense didn't help him and there were some weird things that went on, but he still, you know, gave up a home run. The goal is to go out there and put up zeros. He says it all the time. So tonight, it's 39 consecutive games allowing three earned runs or fewer, which like ties a, you know, major league record or something like that. Congratulations to him, but he'll be the first one to tell you, he don't care. And I don't think if you're a Met fan, you should care either, because you know what? The bottom line is, it wasn't good enough tonight. This team is fighting tooth and nail to try to win a division. Every game matters. They don't have much margin for error. And on a night like this where he gave up three runs too many, as far as I'm concerned, it ain't good enough. Save all the record talk and whatnot for at the end of the season. But tonight, it fell flat. I'm sorry. I mean, it's three runs. Not one, not two, three. Richard's in Manhattan. He's up next here on 98.7 ESPN. Richard, how are you?
Dan, you know what I saw in the Met Cup game I haven't seen in 25 years?
What's that?
A two-strike bunt.
Did somebody bunt with two strikes, really?
That's right. Not only that, well, that was the play that the guy got hit with the ball. That was the one where Alfonso came in, didn't handle it great, and he beat the runner home, beat the
throw. Oh, on the squeeze play. Okay.
Bunted twice. Yeah, squeeze bunt. But the Grom got done in. That was a bad call by the umpire. The runner on the bunt was running inside the line. Anyway, but a two-strike bunt I haven't seen. I don't bet, Dan, but you know in the NFL first week, there were 10 home underdogs. Guess how many won?
Not many, right?
Six. No, six.
Oh, six of them won?
Won the spread. This week there are only four. So if I'm a better out there, I would bet a home underdogs the whole year and see how I do. Bill Belichick. He should take some hit, and I'll tell you why. Not because he ain't going to win crap without Brady, but because he made the decision to let Brady go to let a Hall of Fame quarterback leave, not only Hall of Fame, a Super Bowl producing Hall of Fame quarterback leave when you had him on your roster. Imagine any other coach letting a quarterback go that can win a Super Bowl, has won one already, played great last year, and this year will be make some noise. Aaron Judge may have the greatest year ever. He's going to have the most RBIs, the most homers, and the most runs scored. He may, outside shot, but may lead in walks, batting average, and hits. That's six major categories. One last thing.
Mm-hmm.
That two-point play. That was, you guys are demeaning. The only guy I heard that said it right was Don LaGreca. Don said it was analytical. He's 100% right. Everyone is demeaning the coach by saying it was risky. He was being aggressive.
No, it's that's why Mike Tomlin always goes for two. Like,
I'm disagreeing there. I don't think you should go for two during the middle of the game. You should never chase points. I'm being specific for that point of the game, for the Giant game. It was opening game. They may do that play another time in the season, and the other team will be ready for it. You can't do the same play twice. The reason why that play was great, if the Jets had done it, no good. Joe Flacco can't run. But you have the guy handling the ball. Daniel Jones is a great runner. You have the guy in the backfield who's having a great game running the ball. So he's back. He played like his hand was touched by God. So he was great, Barkley. At that point, you go for the two. Why would you go for overtime where it's 50-50? Here you have control. You go for the 2 points there because you have the control. All factors are in your favor. Plus the fact the extra point, they botched one already, so it made it only 50% as far as the Giants were concerned. They did the right analytical play at that moment. Now, I'm not saying any other time you go for two. No, every situation is different. At that moment, that was the best play to do analytically, and that's that. Dan, always a pleasure.
Richard, thank you for the phone call. I won't even use the word analytics. I tip my cap to Brian Daboll because you know what he did there? What every coach should do, what every good coach should do. He made a decision based on the feel that he had for his team. Because the head coach during the game should know his team better than you, than me, than anybody else. He knew how those guys were operating. As Richard said, they had momentum. Not just that, but maybe Brian Daboll felt or maybe he knew that if this game does go into overtime, he didn't like his team's chances. Maybe he thought that they've given all that they could give, at least on the defensive side of the ball. Did he just get another one? He got another one. Another one for Judge. 57. 57. He's doing this thing. He's beating Maris. 5-7 for Judge, and we got ourselves a brand new ball game. 4-4 at Fenway Park in the seventh inning. So Judge is at 57 through 142 team games. He's got 57. Maris had 55 in 1961. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. And why, oh, why, oh, why do you break up Judge and Stanton at the top of this batting order? Like, why would you ever think about doing that if you're Aaron Boone? It's working. Bottom line, it's working. As far as Pujols, by the way, his pursuit of history, remember, he's at 697. He had a couple over the weekend, so he passed A-Rod on the all-time list. Pujols, it's amazing how much they're running him out there in the lineup, too. Like, who would have thought that Albert Pujols would be getting this many at-bats for the St. Louis Cardinals this year? But he's got an RBI tonight. Not a home run, but he's got an RBI. I think Pujols is getting a 700. Originally, I didn't think that was the case, but I didn't expect him to get as hot as he has either. Three more. What do we got here for the Cardinals? Let's see. Two. Cardinals are going to have 20 games left after tonight. You're telling me Pujols isn't going to hit three home runs in those 20 games? Of course he is. And Judge, what, 20 games left for the Yankees after tonight? And he's got to hit five? So that's like one every four games? Pretty good bet. Remember, this is a five-game drought that he came into tonight without going deep. And not only did he hit one, he hit two. Incredible. And that last one was a no-doubter. My God, that's didn't even land yet. As far as the race goes in the American League East, remember, the Yankees are still trying to fend off Tampa, Toronto. They played a doubleheader today. Tampa won the opener 4-2 earlier this afternoon. Toronto is getting them back here in the nightcap. The Blue Jays have a 5-2 lead. That one is in the eighth inning. So essentially what they're doing is they're flip-flopping because there's a half game that separates them. So if tonight's final holds, then that means Toronto will be six back, and then Tampa Bay will be potentially either six or six and a half games back, depending on what the outcome is here for the Yankees and the Red Sox up there at Fenway Park. Bottom line is you got to like where the Yankees are right now in the division. You know, the fact that they were able to take 2 out of 3 over Tampa Bay on the weekend, I think points you in the right direction, certainly, as far as just trying to make sure you finish with that top spot, right? Because it's no secret compared to anybody else. Yankees need to win their division just as much as any other team does. Setting a rotation, make it as easy as possible, getting that first round bye so you don't have to exhaust all of your resources. I mean, right now the Yankees are going to get, or whoever wins that American League East, they're going to at least be the 2 seed and get that first round bye. Because the American League Central, Cleveland's in first place right now. They are, really, 10 and, yeah, I mean, they're like 9.5 games back of the Yankees. They're not chasing them down. So Houston, the Yankees are going to be the top two seeds in the American League and get the byes. National League right now, you're talking about the Dodgers and either the Mets or the Braves. And the Mets got major, major things to figure out right now. Major things. And they got to stop sleepwalking against these bad teams like the Chicago Cubs. This is, I mean, you could sit here and you could pass away a bad effort of this or of that. Not this time of the year. Shouldn't be happening. We told you the Dodgers, they could win the National League West tonight with either a win or a Padres loss. Dodgers are just underway out in Arizona. San Diego is in Seattle. So magic number is 1 for LA. And Atlanta, you know, seeing if they can cooperate again and help the Mets with yet another loss. They're in San Francisco. That game will be getting underway momentarily, like any second, between them and the San Francisco Giants. Kyle Wright going for his 18th win this year for the visitors. Braves aren't just going to keep losing. You know, Mets are eventually going to have to win again. You know, this funk is just, like I said, it's really a head-scratcher. Did not expect it happening. Not in any way, shape, or form.
This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN.